Welcome to Ever Beyond. Broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. You are listening to Wolf Spirit Radio indeed via Ever Beyond Radio. And this is part of the alternative Sunday service here on Wolf Spirit Radio. And today, my guests are longtime guest and recurring guest and his friend. Yes, we're going to find out some stuff. We got some new stuff, some star ancestry stuff. We're going to be talking about Trump. We're going to be talking about all sorts of really interesting things. And without any further ado, I would like to reintroduce a dear old friend of Wolf Spirit, Tolek. Good afternoon, Tolek. How are you?
Hello, JP. How are you?
I'm very well. And so, would you like to introduce your friend?
Oh, certainly. Thank you. I'll provide a bit of a teaser for everyone. This woman's name is Adana. We met first in 1995, I believe, in Tucson, when we were both living there, and I was during a transitional point in my career and happened to be doing some television work in a public access station across the street from an angel store. It was actually called Angels from Heaven. And so Adana and I bumped into each other in this angel store one afternoon, and we started talking, and that turned into a friendship, and we've known each other ever since. I think the more interesting part of the story is, and we can get into some of this, some of the detail of this when she starts telling you about her star ancestry work, is that we've learned that we are actually brother and sister from the planet Dakota. Back in the Pleiades, in the Taygeta star system, she and I have the same parents. And in that essence, that lifetime, I'm the older brother, and she's the baby sister. Down here on planet, I'm younger. So, with that as a teaser, I will introduce Adana of Star Ancestry, and she can tell you her story, how she first had contact, about her telepathy, whatever. Adana, whatever you want to tell the people, this is your time to shine.
Thank you, brother. It's an honor to be on the show, and I'm really excited about sharing my life story and the experiences that I've had over the years. In 1987, which was in June of 1987, I had a actual physical sighting that materialized in front of my house in the country. There was only about 5 houses out on 75 acres of land, and we were right in the middle of a rice field, and the nearest town is like 5 miles away, and the South Texas Nuclear Project is like about 12 miles. We could see it across from where we were living in that area. And I just stood there in front of a rainy, stormy night, and the clouds were very, very low in the sky, and it was like about 11 p.m. at night. I stood there sitting at the window and was thinking about the Creator and the wonders of it all, and I finally asked the Creator, show me the wonders of the heavens, and boom. The scout craft materialized about, I don't know, a few yards in front of the house. You could almost actually run up to it, touch it. It hovered like in a two-story level on one side of the tree and disappeared, and went at ground level on the other side of the tree and disappeared. And the description of the craft was dark. I couldn't tell what color it was, but it had like five rectangular glowing yellow windows, no light, no sound whatsoever coming from the craft. And left an impression on me because I grew up on the airport. My parents had aviation business, was a successful in the aviation business out in Hobby Airport, Houston, Texas. So I grew up around airplanes, and I know that for a shadow of a doubt, no doubt whatsoever, that this was definitely not a plane. It's definitely not a hot air balloon or any other kind of descriptive object that's out there. And it changed my whole life. It immediately overnight, I was completely changed. Not the same person as I was before then. This also triggered a flashback to when I was about the age of 7. I was picked up by a circular silver craft in my home in Houston, and taken aboard the craft. I do remember going through the control room. I do remember being like 1 foot off the floor. You know, at the age of 7, you know, we've all seen Peter Pan as children. So, you know, I thought I was flying like Peter Pan, and I asked these little people. They were the Greys, as they were called. But I called them little people because they were my age and my size, actually my size. And they just kept going, and I'm levitated onto the platform in the medical observatory room on a silver platform. There was nothing holding it up. It was just, it's suspended in midair. And I asked them what they're doing. They said that they were healing my body. All I saw was color lights. There was no instruments of any kind whatsoever. It was just color lights hitting me in certain areas of my body. The next thing I know, I was being walked back through the ship, and my hand was being held by what appears to be a very tall gentleman, perhaps to be a commander of the craft, and he had long blonde hair and translucent type of blue eyes and fair skin. He was wearing a very type of clothing that's molded to his body. And I asked him, where are we going? And he said, we're taking you back. And I said, I didn't want to go back. It was so peaceful. I was crying. I didn't want to go back. And he kind of bent down and looked at my eye level, and he said, you have to go back. And you will not remember for a time. You will forget, because we're protecting you. And so I said, okay. And as they were beaming me back down through the window back into my bed, I was beginning to forget. By the time I got back to my bed, I woke up. It was 6 o'clock in the morning. So I had 6 hours missing time between midnight, when I saw this big white light coming into the room, to 6 o'clock in the morning. And so ever since then, I had sensed and felt the, how do you call it? It's like a hair rising in the back of your neck. You kind of know, you know, you're being watched. And I have sensed this all of my life. But I also sensed the fact that I had peace in my heart, the fact that I was being protected. until it was time for me to wake up, which what happened in 1987. And so then my whole life changed at that point in time. And, I began to get telepathic messages back in. I began to get visions and dreams and all that stuff that goes along with it. And within about 3 years after that awakening, that's when I began to start to ground myself. I start to get grounded back into the earth. I kind of balance myself between earth life and my awakened life. And it's kind of hard to do when you live on the earth plane where people are not yet awakened or who had not had experience of the things that we have experienced ourselves. So this is where I come into being familiar with the communications between myself and the star people. And by the time Toilet came around, we continued that journey, and then finding myself 30 years later, knowing that I'm a Pleiadian, but didn't know which star system I'm from, and the question was asked just a few years ago. And then I was surprised by the revelation of the new information, and what I've discovered was through my journey that I had a mission of being a communicator between the heavens and the earth, the mission of working with Mother Earth's energy, being energy worker, and now the mission of reuniting the earth people with the star people, the star families, getting them back together. And this is where I'm at this point in time.
Okay, so the star beings of which you speak, of which you discover that you are, how did you first start? Well, I mean, all right, so let me just share a little bit. Let me just, if I turn on my camera, you can see your screen. And, you know, I have, and I often display it, but I have in my room a large, there's only one photograph, really, only one picture in my room, and it's that one. Can you see that?
Can you see that? Oh, wait, no, it's,
can you see?
For me, it's dark. I see there's an image there, but I can't see it.
All right, hang on, let me just turn on the white light. There we go. Now do you see?
Light. That looks like the Pleiades constellation.
Correct, yes. I've had this picture.
That's right, the Pleiades constellation, right.
I picked up this picture about, 18 years ago when I arrived here, and it's been following me around. I have no other posters on the wall, really, apart from this, generally. It just comes with me. And, Taygeta is one of the words that I've heard. So, when you speak of Taygeta, and this, you know, this is one of the things that pricked up my ears about Tolek when I first met him, and I think probably one of the reasons that I got in touch with him is because he said Taygeta. So,
yes,
talk of Taygeta, yeah, please, Adonna.
One of the interesting things about I want to share with you in terms of star map, and it's interesting that when I first started out to talk about the Pleiades, is that back in 1987, just shortly after I had the sighting, I was at a MUFON meeting, and there was a couple of women that were sitting behind me. And during the break, I turned around and introduced myself, and I said, I'm looking for other people like me that is awakened. And she said, oh, she's a communicator. She's a channel. I said, oh, okay. We met up, and we were outside, and it was in the middle of nowhere. I mean, a central Texas area, and there were no houses around there, so you could actually see the night sky. And I was being pulled. My heart was being pulled to one direction, and I looked up, and there was an upside-down question mark And I'm going, why is that question mark up there? You know, out of all the stars in the sky, I am drawn to that one. So I asked my friend, what type of stars are these? And she said, the Pleiades. I said, oh, the Pleiades. Well, I have to look it up. And she explained to me about the history behind it, in connection to, the earlier times of, the Egyptians and the Mayans and the Hopi, in connection to the constellations of the night sky. And so, I did not know at that time period that I was going to be studying the star maps, which happened back in 2010 when Tolik and I discovered who we are to each other as far as family relationship from the Takeda star system. Our brother, who happens to be a star commander, said to me, you've got to go look it up with a star map. I said, why do I have to look it up with a star map? He said, you've got to look it up yourself. Come to find out, the reason I have to look up in the star map is to re-familiarize myself with the star systems that's out there. And re-familiarize myself with the fact that, okay, in this instance that we're going to be coming up with discussions about, Aldebaran star system. We know that it's from the Taurus constellation, and the Taurus constellation is between Orion constellation and the Pleiades.
Right.
And so I know exactly where to look for and what type of star is, Aldebaran. And so I had to go back into the map and find it and study it to understand it. You know, this is a red giant star that you can actually see in the night sky. You can actually pick it out.
It's the bright shining star.
You know, there's no doubt. Right. And that is so amazing to discover that this particular star that is reddish in color, that I find out that our Earth's sun star, our sun, is the size of Mercury compared to Aldebaran star. That star that we see in the night sky is giant. It's huge. And I find that fascinating to know that. There is so much more to this, but it's just basically helping us to understand, okay, just much like we learned about roadmaps of this planet. It's the same thing that we're learning about the roadmaps to the night sky and finding out where we're from. How did we get here?
And
what is our purpose here?
And how do we get back? No, I'm fascinated. I call it stellography, right? It's like geography, right. But it's like geography of the stars, so stellography. And I'm fascinated by the stellography of the Pleiades, and the relationship of Pleiades, Aldebaran, all the Taurus guys, you know, they seem to be quite close to us. In proximity, you know, Orion and,
that's right.
We're in an area of disputed zone between the Orion Empire and the Pleiadian Empire. Is that correct? What's the political? Do you know the political situation of our planet?
Repeat what you're asking me.
With the different empires, you know, we saw, Star Wars, and from what I can understand, the empire is essentially the empire of the Orion Empire. This area that we live in, in Earth is like a kind of disputed zone. People are fighting over our, you know, who's got Earth? Where is Earth? Is it ours or is it theirs? Do you know much about who the different players are? Or maybe we should move subject.
Is Tolek, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that a question more suited for Tolek?
I can tell you, and certainly I want to hear Adana's thoughts as well, but I can tell you that the reptilian boys, you know, from Draco, Orion, the Sirius B star system, they believe that this is their planet, that we are simply a natural resource to be used and consumed. They also believe that we are dumb like cows. We're not advanced. We're not evolved. That's their perception of us. So the reptilians think this is their planet. In terms of our own, now I'm shifting gears, in terms of our own status, what Adana and I have learned is that sometime in what we would call the not too distant future, after the transformational, the higher dimensional shift of this solar system, and specifically this world, when we finally get into an area when, and I don't mean this by location, I mean I'm talking about energy, when we finally achieve global peace and we are a peaceful planet and all people on this planet are at peace, we're no longer a bunch of 12-year-olds throwing rocks and sticks at each other, parenthetically. When we finally get to the place where we are a peaceful planet, there will be an extension, an offer being made to us to join not only the Galactic Federation, but to enjoy membership of the Andromeda Council, which is called in deep space the Galactic Council. We'll fall under one of the current members' jurisdictions, but we're going to get an invitation to be part of the Galactic Federation. And that's when we as a planet will actually get political status. That's the best way I can say it.
That's right.
Thank you, Todd. So let's bring it back to, so I don't know, you were talking about, yeah, well, let's just go a little further and talk about Aldebaran or Aldebaran or Aldebaran or
Aldebaran,
Aldebaran, whatever, you know, see the way I see it, like all these, star names, all begin with Al, right? Which means it's Arabic for the. And so when I say it, it's like, you know, the way you say the United States, you don't emphasize the, so you don't emphasize Al, you emphasize the Debron. So to me, that's how you'd pronounce it. But I don't know. Who am I? But so there's Aldebaran. And then they have a particular kind of separated consciousness. Let's put it that way. From what I can understand, that's, you know, this is where the kind of Nazi ideals and all that stuff comes from. So... make things a little more clear for me, because it's still a bit like, I don't really know. It's Aldebaran.
It's actually an interesting story. Adana and I were talking about the specifics of this, and instead of me asking the questions, I let her ask the questions, and the answers are pretty interesting. So Adana, go ahead. You're going to enjoy this, JP. Adana?
Okay. Yes.
Sure. Go ahead and tell JP about the topics that we talked about regarding Aldebaran and the planet Era and the Pleiades and the connection with Germany and the German people and why all of that is relevant.
Well, there's the history behind all of that. Let's start with the connection back in the early 1930s. And the connection back then, according to what I'm receiving from my star people, is that the early Germans here were curious. You know, they were curious about the future. They were curious about the future technology. And this was just the beginning of the elite, a group of people back then in the early 1930s when you started out with, the hidden elite group behind, the Nazi development that had been going on back then. And what they had discovered, was that they went out to the remote areas of the world and had gathered information in terms of getting the importance of the technology back in their hands. And they ended up stumbling upon, the reptilians, in the caves, in the caverns of the remote regions. And then they make the exchange. That's on one end. They make the exchange. Say, okay, you know, I'll give you this and you give me this. And that's when they all started development of wanting to take what they call control of the power of the air, power of the land, control of the land, control of the sea. That's when it all came about at that particular period of time.
And Adana, how about the Germans and the Aldebarans or Aldebarans? Do you remember how the Germans found the Aldebarans or where they found them?
The Germans, I have to go back and try to remember what was being said about the Germans found the Aldebaran. They were like the Nordic people. Most people would say, the blonde, blue-eyed, you know, real tall people. They would say the Nordics, but the people were the, Lulan is the name of the planet where these people came from. And with that, group, ended up intermarried with what they call the Plejoyans or the Pleiadians, however they choose to call them, from Era. So all of that got pulled together, and that's why there was so much confusion as to, okay, which is which. But actually they were intermixed together as people. And that's where you see a lot of that kind of appearance of the features of these people.
JP, if you didn't catch that, without a segue, what she was saying is way, way, way back in time, the early Germanic race was founded because people from the Aldebaran star system here came here and left a colony. People from Era, the planet Era, and the Tegeden star system came here, and they intermarried. And
they intermarried with each other.
Right. And that's why Maria Orsic of the Vril Society looks so much like Semyasi from Era. Their genes, they come from the same gene pool.
So, because I heard that the German colony, that was an Aldebaran colony from in many years ago. I didn't know about the Erens. Can you tell me more about the Erens? Because my name is Perrin. Erens, Perrins, you know? Tell me more.
More about the people?
People from planet Era. Mm-hmm. Or semiasi.
People from Planet Error? Good question. I haven't been asked about that question in depth, but for what I'm seeing images of, as it's being shown to me right now, is that the people from Error are very, they're very much, first of all, they're very much a peaceful people to begin with. But their planet is very much, how do I put this? What's the word? It's not like Earth. It's very crisp. It's very, vivid in colors. It's, they have, I keep hearing, lakes. I keep hearing, waterfalls. I keep hearing, people do not, abuse their land. They're very much in terms of, the environment, around them. They're very much left nature alone. They do have what they call, a system of housing that is, it's more of a circular type of housing. It's not like what we have here. We have here is all spread out. The houses is everywhere, all spread out. But in terms of what they have within their land is basically the homes are formed in a circle. And so I keep seeing homes formed in a circle, which means that outside of the circle, the land around it is untouched. And, kind of like what you have forestry here, you have national parks. And those lands are not to be torn down or whatever. So it's the same kind of thing over there. They do have what I call, space pad, where they keep their, right next to their home in a circle. They have, like what we have here, we have a helicopter pad. Where there, they have, a scoutcraft pad where they can come and go. They can load up the chairs, they go in the scoutcraft, and then they go wherever they need to go, on their planet. What else?
So that's a Jetsons world, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's some Jetsons world. That's what they're showing me. That's what I'm seeing.
Awesome. So, are you getting a kind of live feed from the Pleiadian Collective right now?
So I'll repeat the question again.
Are you, you're getting images and, contacts live as we speak in real time, yes?
I'm sorry, JP, I couldn't understand you.
I'll try again. It's a complex. sorry. In your mind's eye, you're being connected with the Pleiadian Collective. Is that correct? Right now, live.
I was being connected by my, what I call my Star Commander brother. And he was giving me the information as to, the information provided in terms of imagery. It's almost like a movie film that I see that he's showing me what it looks like.
All right.
So, that's how I get the information is from him. It depends on the question, you know, like your question has what is Error all about? What does it look like? Then, my Star Commander brother gives it to me. Because he's the pilot and the ship, so he knows he has to have all this information as far as the star maps and the conditions of the planets. where he's at, wherever he's at. So that's how I get the information that way.
Okay, cool. So ERA. Now tell me, is there another ERA around Alcyone?
Another ERA around Procyon star system?
Yes.
No.
There's only one ERA.
The way I understand it from my star commander brother, he tells me yes, there is. But it's not called ERA. It's called by a different name.
Alright.
But there is, in the Procyon star system, there is, a planet that works with, the Andromeda Council people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the information I got, through one of the people that are stationed here, you found out the name of that planet, that star system. Do I want to be sure I give it to you correctly the way my star commander brother gives it to me? And I have to refer back to here, my chart that has all of the star system, the names of the planets that my star commander brother gave me on this, you know, on this particular star system here. Just bear with me for a moment.
Okay, no problem. Go ahead.
I can save us some time. If we're talking about the Procyon star system, the people are from the planet Cana, and I forget which number they are on the Andromeda Council, but they're one of the senior members.
Thank you, brother.
You're welcome. But if you're talking about, I think that JP was asking about the Alcyone, Alcyone star system, which is also in the Pleiades. Is that what you're asking about?
Yes, because, our friend Audrey Ewis, who, says he's from, Atlas. The planet is called, oh God. I can't remember what it's called now. It's around Atlas. Atlas is the star anyways. He's over on the left hand side as we see it.
Right.
He's talking about a planet around Alcyone called ERA as well. And I'm also the Semyase.
Oh, Alcyone.
Alcyone, yeah, sorry.
Alcyone?
Yes.
Okay. Bear with me, JP.
Okay, no problem. Just wait for you to get the information down. Yeah.
Oh, right. The only information that I have on Alcyone star system, at this point in time is, there's a planet called Pierra planet. Pierra, P-I-E-R-A. That's what was given to me.
That's actually pretty close to ERA. If you put a P in front of it, Pierre.
Yeah, which of course would be French Pierre, the stone.
Okay.
That's right. That's correct.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. the rock. It's New Lyra, of course, is the name of the planet around Atlas that Audrey comes from.
Ah. Right. Well, this particular planet is people, the race of people. It's called Tonko. It's actually T-O, T in the time, U, and then a space, K-O. That's the race of people, and they're in like in the eighth dimension.
Whoa.
And my understanding from this planet, they are a ball of energy. These solar essences are a ball of energy that turns into a 10-foot bright white translucent skin, curly white hair, baby blue eyes. That's what was given to me.
Nice.
From my understanding, from Pyrrha, It says that it's the bright blue water planet. It's the size of Jupiter. It has landmass throughout the planet. Most of the landmass is more of islands than large continents. I keep seeing cities in the water, dome cities. There are floating cities on top of water as well as below the surface of the waters. So they are classified as water people because they like to, you know, they're pretty much, there's more water than anything else. They said that there's no continents at all. It's just small islands dotted throughout the planet. But they are very much at home in the water. So from what I understand that they have what they call an underwater dome city. It's called Etope. E-T-O-P-E. And it looks like a city on top of a white sandy bottom. And you can see that here. If you see, like, for example, I've been to the Caribbean Sea here. And you can see all the way down the bottom is white. It's beautiful white sand. And the scale crab goes in and out of the water city. And their planet has a lot of crystals in their water. And besides having this planet, they have seven moons. And four of the seven moons are livable. And of course they give the various names. I won't go into it, but that's basically what Fiera and Alcyon, as far as I know, the information that I received for, you know, one of our people here, one of the Earth people here that are stationed here.
So here's the thing. One of our listeners just said, my hometown is called Alcyon. And, or Alcyone, and my name is Pat Piera. We're all here, you know, and she was on the previous show. She called into the previous show. So we have quite a constellation here in this chat room. And, you know, this is one of the things that I kind of, I suppose, as a sort of subtext to the whole doing radio shows is concerned, is the gathering of the clans. Or the regathering of the clans. It's like we've been held together so long, and it's been like holding a beach ball underwater, and it's time to release the pressure that holds the beach balls under. And, it, you know, we're all going to surface, and we're all going to go, oh, hi, yeah, well, yeah, I remember you. And the whole network will just reappear. And this, I believe, is the seeding, all right? So here's my insight into one of the plans. One of the things is, you know, we need to get a kind of unified consciousness here on Earth. So if we throw lots and lots of Pleiadians, having ripped them, poor little buggers, from their collective consciousness on their home planets, and bring them to Earth, when they wake up and connect with other people, such as they're doing on this very radio station, that this creates a kind of crystal, a form around which informs the new planet Earth collective consciousness. Is that anywhere near the plan? Do you know, either of you?
Okay, Tolan, you want to put your input in?
Well, some observations. I think that we're finally getting some definitions around some of these topics. As an example, for years, people have been saying, I feel like I'm a Pleiadian. Well, one of the first things I would always ask is, really? Okay, well, if you feel like you're a Pleiadian, you may be. But where in the Pleiades do you come from? Oh, well, I'm a Pleiadian. Well, the Pleiades is a star cluster in the Taurus constellation. So, you know, Alcyon, Atlas, Merope, Tegeta. Oh, I'm the Pleiadian. Well, we're now finally getting some definition around these terms. And as you had this call, JP, you had this caller calling in a little while ago saying her hometown is Alcyon, first name Piera. So, and Donna and I, we are from the planet Dakota in the Taygeta star system. Era is in the Taygeta star system. And of course there are other stars in the Pleiades. And so I think it's good that we're at least starting to get some definitions around some of these topics. That's always a good thing. About a collective consciousness, I think one of the first things that we, those of us who know all this information, is that the best things that we can do is, one of the best things we can do is keep the topics at a level also for people who are just waking up, so that they can sort of go, oh, okay, this is where this is going. But for the people who are absolutely wide awake and who are at the level that we're talking at, collective consciousness. I think this is just based on everything that I've learned, based on all the things that Adana and I and our various star family members have talked about, collective consciousness and communication has to do with the higher dimensions of the fourth and the fifth, where people are clairaudient, clairsentient. It's part of their natural abilities. I think we'll get there once the higher dimensional shift of this planet happens. I think we're on the way there right now. You know, we're in a transition period. All of the things that are coming, all the changes, all the additional changes that are coming.
Well, it's just like, look at it this way. 30 years ago, we didn't have, how should I say, that many people awakened.
Right.
It was 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, only a handful of people awakened, and it's not talked about. It's pretty much a hush-hush type of thing because it was not readily, how should I say, acceptable. In that period of time, now since 1987, as many of us who went through that period of the harmonic conversion that summer, it brings about that change of the consciousness in that period of time, and therefore the area of space that we have been slowly coming into, raising that higher vibratory rate for the planet, which also affects the consciousness of this planet,
right,
and its people. And then it grew from there. You know, you could see the changes that started to slowly come about in the mid-1990s, where a lot of the people are starting to wake up and started to talk about these topics that we're discussing now.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, the level of questions that I was getting in Pagosa Springs in Colorado, the level of questions that Adana and I and others were fielding at the Transformational Shift Conference in Tucson were masters, certainly, and speaking metaphorically, but these were upper college master and doctorate level questions from the audience members about,
right,
who are we? What is this time of transition? What are we ultimately going to become in terms of people? And all of the upsides and downsides and sideways expressions of life that we're going to experience on this whole ride as we have it. I feel blessed that we're reaching people, JP, at the level that you are directing these interview programs at, because they're out there. There are people who are highly awake and asking some really relevant questions about this transition process we're in. And to get back to center of the question, I think there will always be certain themes and certain topics that are in the energy and the airwaves, if you will, around the planet as we move, as Adonis said, as we move through this higher energy area of space that we, each of us, tap into. But I don't think that we'll get to collective consciousness until we actually make the switch, the transformation from 3D to higher dimensional. Adana, what do you think about that?
Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly that it's exactly what is happening right now. It's really a very exciting time for all of us. I'm looking forward to this. This upcoming changes that's coming about because as we move into the change of the consciousness, the people, more and more people will be able to tap into what those of us have already tapped into in terms of communications, you know, with the higher dimensions, in terms of receiving the collective information as well as the individual information depending on where they're at in their personal lives. And it makes things a lot more easier to receive nowadays than it did, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And I see more and more of people awaken to where, as Tolik was talking about, the type of question that's being asked today is exactly right on college, PhD, master level questions, which tells me that the energy of the higher dimensions is bombarding this planet. And if people on a daily basis is changing their cellular input within their form, within their human body, within their mind, within their essence of who they are, and it's bumping them up.
You know, I wanna
more quickly.
I want to make a point, if I may. I think that this is exactly the reason why the kind service that you are providing to people, right now I'm talking about you, Adana, of this star ancestry work that you are doing. It's sort of like ancestry.com. Well, Adana is starancestry.com. Because the people that are coming to her are saying, who am I really? I have a sense. There are some clues that I have. There's some information I know deep inside of me, but I want to know, who am I? What star system do I come from? Who are my people? Which planet? The point that I'm trying to raise here is, I don't think that this service you're providing would have been relevant and valuable and so successful 7, 10, 12 years ago. I think that because of the area of space that we're in and the frequencies that we're coming through right now, people are getting more and more triggered to awaken and to ask these questions. And that's why you're so busy, because this is the time for someone like you to provide a service like this. I know it's a blatant plug, but it's also an observation that it's timely that you are providing this service.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. That's exactly a lot of the people's responses that have come back. You know, they have an inkling, they know, they sense, they feel, but they want confirmation of it, and they want to know. They seriously want to know to make that connection. And I was amazed at the accuracy of the information that has been provided to them. And they're just ready to roll, you know, lock and roll. They're moving full speed ahead and moving into their own mission for this planet. And amazingly, a lot of the people that are here today are highly evolved souls. These people are, you're talking about chief engineering, you're talking about chief medical officer, you're talking about star commanders, you're talking about liaisons. There's a couple of ambassadors that are here.
Adana, how many, I'm sorry to interrupt you, how many different star systems do you think that you have asked about since you've been starting this work in, I guess, mid-November? So you ask all these questions and you come back with all these answers. How many star systems do you think that you've asked about?
Oh my goodness.
People's homes, a rough number.
I'll give you roughly an estimate. I want to say probably so far right now around 15, maybe 20. I don't quote me on that, but I think that's about 10 to 15 different star systems out there so far that I have encountered off the top of my head.
See, this is information that we really need to, start charting and, but good to have a resource where people could go to see your gradually building jigsaw puzzle and maybe even provide other pieces. Now listen, we're at the top of the hour and I'd like to indulge myself by, these are two pieces of music and, that I've written, and I get poems. I think you guys probably do, because my belief is that we're all Lyran. We're all from Lyra, and the Lyran higher self is lyrical. Lyran, lyrical. And so when you get your higher self channelings and things like that, they often come out very poetically and very lyrical. For reasons that I stated earlier. So, having said that, there's two tunes. This is the first one is called Pirates of Pyra, and this is one of these poems. It just kind of came down in a bloop, as they do. And the second one's called Spies from Aldebaran, which I think is an instrumental, so I don't think there's any good lyrics to it. But anyway, here's some stuff for us to enjoy over the break. This is the Pirates of Pyra. Welcome back. This is Wolf Spirit Radio, broadcasting through Ever Beyond Radio. And, I keep forgetting to do this, so I'm going to do it now. We have a great need for production staff. Well, all sorts of staff, really. But really, the radio station does not work without producers. Colleen and I have worked ourselves to a raveling. we're just like little threads of our former selves. So, and that's because, you know, it's being able to cover an amount of time. Even one extra producer would take a load off us. So, if you've contacted us before, recontacted us, if I've spoken to you before, come along, see how you're getting on. I can help with equipment. That's not a problem. It's training and aptitude. I can help with training. It's aptitude. It's really an aptitude. So, have a word with Colleen, or have a word with Vanessa, or have a word with me. You can contact me, jp@wolfspiritradio.com. That's easy enough. Little J, little P. That's me. Anyway, my guest today is Tolek and Adonna, and we are really quite far out there this evening. We're out in the local galactic space. Discussing the Galactic Council. We're talking Aldebaran. We're talking Alcyone. We're talking Meroki. We haven't spoken Meropi, but we have been speaking Taygeta. So there was the song, right? Pirates of Pyra. Pyra is one of the Taygetan planets. There's Pyra, Era, Maya, and Dakote. Right?
And I know we've talked about this once or twice. And Adana and I were having this conversation about 4 months ago. The people of the planet Dakote are originally from the Lyra star system. Before they got to Taygeta and the Pleiades, they were absolutely from Lyra.
Oh yeah, I'm convinced that everybody, we're all Lyran. All of us are Lyran.
Yeah, this human genome pool.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And I believe that here now is the gathering of the Lyrans, really. It's not about Pleiadians. It's not about Arcturans. It's not about Syrians. It's about Lyrans. That's Lyrans. My insight into this whole thing. And in the summer, I had this massive, remembering and reawakening of, you know, who I was and who we were. And, I did a big show on it called The Lyran Trauma. And because it's affected human consciousness, all human consciousness, we're all suffering from PTSD globally. Not globally, galactically. We have a galactic PTSD from the Lyran attack that has never been healed. Never healed the grief.
Well, and also from years of, because it's subversive, because it's always been in the undercurrent. People have not known about this, but we have been, as humans, abused, manipulated, and many other things by the reptilians that have been on this world running things for years. Like a long, long time. And this is this period of change that we're in. This is the period where, I'm going to use a metaphor, there's a field and there's a gate around it and all these horses that have been inside this large field with a gate. And then the corral door gets opened and the horses stand there looking at each other and go, yeah, and? They don't know that they can leave. They can leave. They don't have to stay inside.
Exactly. Like the little beagles, the lab beagles.
Yeah, same idea.
Yeah, bless their little hearts. Oh, they're so sad. I mean, so sad to see those. And indeed, our brothers and sisters outside of our planet must be looking down on us going, come on then. On you go.
Right.
Get going.
That's right.
Start whatever you're supposed to be. And everybody's going, oh, look at that. Oh, right. Oh, is that a UFO? No, UFOs don't exist. There's a level of understanding that is just so many levels below the reality of reality.
Right. And here's the relevance. You know, here we are talking about where people are originally from. You know, their soul essence. They're from the Arcturus star system. They're from Alcyon. They're from, as Adana said, upwards of 10, maybe 15 star systems that she's learned about. Maybe had heard about them before, but not heard about them. Regarding people who are coming to her and saying, tell me about my star ancestry. Tell me about where I'm originally from. So you have people at this level, and we still have people on this planet going, UFOs? Nah, if you can't prove it, they're not real. And don't talk to me about UFOs because, you know, the government's busted and healthcare costs too much money and rah, 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 rah. And so we have people in the trenches asking about relevant questions regarding the survival, their own survival on this planet. All the way up to people who are asking master's and doctorate level questions about their spirit essence and where they originally came from. And people like you and me and Adana and Alexandra Metters and Jenny Marks and Grandmother Silverstar and a whole bunch of others are doing our best to try to answer these different questions about who are we, where have we come from, where are we going, the ubiquitous when will this all happen? And, you know, of course, you know, the word soon is now an official four-letter word. We don't even talk about it anymore.
My guides always used to say, soon enough in your terms, which like, because they started saying soon, and like soon became like, that's soon is 12 years? I don't call that soon, guys. Okay, you need to come up with a slightly different terminology. 12 years, that's not soon.
Right. Well, like, you know, like we talked about.
Now I'm 56. Yes, it's soon, but then it wasn't.
Well, yeah. Me coming down here, they said I've been coming to this planet. I know I've told the story, but here we go. I've come to this planet for 75,000 years. 75,000 years, as we would calculate time. And I said, okay, I'm going to ask you guys this question from your perspective, not mine. Went, okay, that's our commander, brother. So I said, what does it feel like to you? how does it feel to you, using Earth terminology, how long I've been gone from you on the primary Galactic Andromeda Council ship, this big planetoid? Because I've been working with you for all these years and traveling back and forth between there and Earth. And I went, in your terms? I said, yeah. About like a year and a half business trip. I went, 75,000 years in Earth terms? And you're telling me, you're telling me that it feels like a year and a half to you guys? Well, yeah. You know, we live thousands and thousands of years, and then we just, we go from the fourth to the fifth, or we decide we're going to be sixth dimensional beings. And I, when I heard that answer, like, my head wanted to explode.
Like, yeah.
And then, I'm not sure when I asked this question, but it was about something I was doing in deep space regarding a meeting, and he said, well, yeah, when you were the sixth dimensional being, and I went, well, hang on a second. You just said when I was a sixth dimensional being. He said, well, yeah, you've already been a sixth dimensional and seven dimensional, and right now you're on Earth working as a 3D. So I went, excuse me? And that's how I got the answer to, and other people have discussed this topic, we truly are multidimensional beings living simultaneous expressions in different dimensions. Part of me is in the fifth, part of me is in the sixth, part of me is in the seventh. Somewhere I'm a little teeny ball like the size of a dime floating around in deep space, and I'm just plain energy.
So that's very fascinating, Tolek. And yeah. This means, well,
that's why it hurts my head.
I was just going to say this is brain busting kind of thinking. Right. Cause you mustn't think about it. You can't think about it. You just have to accept it and then step back into the, cause what it is, it's a second, I call it a Ray 2, concept, because you can't understand it unless you feel through the heart. It's the only way to understand it is to feel it in the heart. Whatever understandings. Anyway,
And this is just my opinion. Really, the only thing that's relevant is, I believe, for people to ask the question, who am I really? What am I really good at doing? Am I spending enough time doing what I'm really good at? How do I affect other people in my moment-by-moment, day-to-day interactions? Where can I help? Though I think those are the people, those are the questions people should be asking of themselves.
The question I have is, where do I get more time? How can I went about a 10-day week crammed into the 7 days. I need time to sleep as well.
Oh.
You know?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm, as Adana will testify to, I've been busy, very busy in this early year, in the past couple of months, preparing for our Pacific Rim tour. But the short version of the story is, I need more of me. I need some help, because I can't do this all on my own. I'm preparing for a conference in Newcastle, Australia, the first weekend of May, a second conference in Brisbane, the second weekend of May. Then we fly, the week later, we fly to Shanghai for a 1 day event, Singapore for a 1 day event, then Portland, Oregon, then San Francisco. And then we go, bottom line is, I'm like you. I'm hanging by a thread, because trying to get all of this done, prepare for all of this. Now, people that we're selling some tickets, people are showing interest. And amongst all of that, in the middle of all of that, there's a week long retreat in Hawaii calling the Star Kitara Aloha Keakua, being the sacred retreat vacation. And we've got Michael Sala, Joan Ocean, Alexander Metters, and a whole bunch of other people. So to say that I'm busy and I could use more hours in every day, man, is that an understatement?
Maybe they could fix it. One of these time compression pills that you took.
Oh, man.
So listen, this brings us the subject of a live appearance. onto a rather, I mean, for me, it's a slightly shaky subject because, you know, I have enough to do organizing my own personal life, let alone a conference. But I would like to put this out now as a call to arms, as it were. I need some help. Yeah. In Britain, it would be, well, what we'd like to do is organize a conference. Now, it doesn't have to be necessarily in London. There may be more, I mean, cause I'm from the very north of Scotland here, Tolek. So, London is not that convenient. I could fly there as well. But, I'm thinking perhaps somewhere more like the middle of Britain. Because there's a lot of people in Birmingham, there's a lot of people in Manchester and York and Leeds. Simon, who we're definitely going to be asking, is in Whitby, which is in Yorkshire. So perhaps somewhere. What I'd like to, what I'm want to put out for is if anybody's out there in the north of England who basically has a conference facility, knows about conference facility or even runs one. Who would like to have a fabulous conference for a weekend in September somewhere in England. So meanwhile, somewhere in England. And I have a PA system. I have all the microphones. I have all that stuff. Got all that.
We have, and we have me and Adana that will come over.
Oh, it would be nice to be on my birthday. My birthday is in September.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
And then, and so also we, you know, may find some other, maybe get someone from Ireland or, other speakers that we can get in and, really make, quite a nice little gathering. Not too flashy, just enough. And, it will be a really good sharing. Cause I think, you know, a lot of people go to conferences to see the speakers, which is great. And that's, they're the focus that brings people together. You know, you've got followers, right. Simon's got followers and, but the main thing is bringing these people together.
Together. That's
and
right.
Because it's not about us. It's not about the speakers. No, it's about the people who arrive. So.
Adana will chime in here. I know she will when I say this. What we discovered, and we're going to be doing this every time we speak, wherever we're going to be. What we discovered is the most valuable moments that we experienced, quote unquote, as speakers, was not as speakers. The most valuable moments that we experienced were sitting up on that small little platform. Sierra Nablina, Yvonne Palermo, Mark Kimmel, Grandmother Silverstar, me, Adana, Jim Nichols. 2.5 hours and more answering questions, dialogue with people. Those informal Q&A panel discussions were amazing because of the dialogue that happened between us and the people. We could have done those things for in excess of 3.5 to 4 hours nonstop. Easy.
It was really amazing. Totally against right because as I was observing the experience during the panel discussion was that the people were so in awe of the fact that they have a chance to really connect with the speakers, not as the speakers per se, but as
people.
A one-on-one conversation between them and the people on the panel.
Yes, yes, yes.
And there's close relationship between everybody during that moment in time.
You know, I would really like to actually build that into the conference. How about that? Moments like every after every thing is not to go bang one to the other. And so all, you know, organizationally, logistically, that's difficult.
Hmm.
You know, for me, I'm a performing musician and I've done gigs for years and I've organized festivals, and stuff like that. So to me, that's what it is. It's a gig. You know, instead of having, people with drums or guitars, I have speakers. So it's just, it's actually easier, you know.
Yeah, it's a gig, that's right.
It's a gig.
All you need is microphones.
Exactly. And well, I mean, that's what I have. I've got some superb microphones. You're going to love this, right? I've got two cordless microphones and eight corded ones and a mixing desk to bring it all. And I can then transmit that directly onto Wolf Spirit Radio Stream.
I was going to suggest that. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And very easily we can run a little laptop at the back with a Google Hangout.
There you go.
To bring the TV in, and we could, you know, have it all on live stream, you know.
So Simon, bring in Simon and Wynn, the boys.
Yeah.
And anybody else you feel might be, a worthwhile contribution.
So here's the thing. Crew as well as, passengers, it's really essentially, wouldn't it be nice to have a little rolling roadshow, you know? This could be the beginning of a roadshow. So, you know, let's think about this kind of thing. And maybe multiple roadshows that we have a model, and then like the Grateful Dead. You know, the Grateful Dead, their gig is not as important as the meeting in the middle.
That's right. That's right. Well, Adana and I are using this model for, the larger conferences in Australia. Mm-hmm. We're using it not for Hawaii, because that's a week-long retreat. It's a different animal altogether. Mm-hmm. But for the conferences, as well as the one-day special events, we'll have like two or three speakers, you know, Adana and I, and maybe one or two other people contributing, but always having a 2.5 to maybe 3-hour period of open dialogue, question-answer between us in a really informal setting and the audience members. Mm-hmm. We get microphones, they get a microphone, and it's interactive, it's bilateral, it's always honorable and respectful. We didn't have any issues all of the days of the Tucson conference with people and questions. Not a one. Everybody respected each other, even when the questions and the topics got a little dicey. Whoa. So it's a fantastic format.
Dicey questions. What's a dicey question? We'll do those in a minute. Going back to the logistics of this, if, like, as I said, if anybody, has, you know, have a, in Britain somewhere, they know of a conference center that is like available in September, probably most of them are, you know, at a university or a college or a local, the more local it is, the cheaper it's going to be. You know, we have no real huge budget. We can afford to put a couple of $100 on a deposit for a room. But, you know, it's probably a medium budget affair, low to medium budget affair to start with. We're just going to start this off and see how it goes. And if it rolls, let's roll it. You know, people need the knowledge. And if we can keep going around, even if it's like village halls. Now, I remember years ago, Tolek and I, we had this conversation. It's like, this is what's going to happen with our visitors. The members of the Andromedan Council will be making tours like this and doing this. So why not do kind of a dry run kind of concept? So at least we'll know the places and the people where they go. How about that?
That's right. Yeah, there was a gentleman from Switzerland who said to Adana recently, Adana, come to Switzerland. You know, bring Tola, come and speak with us. There was a gentleman, Arthur, different spelling for Arthur, Papazian. He's a global pianist, just, a maestro of a pianist. And he and his wife are I think they're in Armenia now. And they've written to us. We're getting letters and emails from around the globe. Adana, tell JP where most of the people are from that are writing to you that are looking for star ancestry reports.
Most of them, I was really surprised to receive a request from Singapore. A lot of them are from Singapore. They had one from Shanghai area. We had a couple of them from Europe. It's worldwide, and I was just astonished and surprised to find that the people are waking me up in the areas that I have never visited. Of course, I'm here at the United States, so I'm familiar with the United States awakening people here. But this is some of the things that I have passed on to Tulik and said, hey, brother, you know, these people want to hear us. They want to make the connections. They want to know more.
Yeah,
and they were so excited. And it was just, it opened the door for them to say, yes, we want you to come here. It's not only about us. It's about all of us who are involved in the aspect of being speakers and, you know, being in the radio talk shows, getting the word out to the people.
Yeah, and I would like to put out a request similar to what JP did. We don't have a venue for the greater San Francisco Bay Area yet. That's going to be the weekend of June the 10th this year. So if there's anybody that's listening that is interested in having us come to the Bay Area, we're going to be speaking in the Bay Area, but I don't have a venue yet. So I put out that request just in case somebody out there in internet radio land listening happens to live in the Bay Area. Feel free to reach out to me. You can reach me at Tolek@AndromedaCouncil.com.
Tolek@AndromedaCouncil.com. There we go. So, so half past, and so we got half an hour left. It's really whacked by. It'd be really cool to get a conference together. As I said, I have all the equipment. We just need a venue and accommodation. You know, because it's going to need, we need to, you know, to put people up overnight, particularly the guests and the thing, and particularly because, you know, if we did it in Scotland, if we did it up here, well, I don't have anywhere to put people up, but there are places around here, that are cheap enough to do that with. Findhorn itself runs conferences and can actually handle that, so it would be a matter of hiring Findhorn, really. But it's, you know, if we get enough numbers, we could do that. You know, if we can guarantee some numbers, then we could book the very large pentagonal shaped formed universal hall smack bang on a whole bunch of vortexes and ley lines and all that stuff. That's Findhorn. Anyway, let's focus on Britain and England, because England is where we do it. And I'm seeing sort of somewhere in the middle. So that's sort of,
so it's accessible for everyone.
Yes. So I can come down from the north and people can come up from Cornwall and Exeter and Brighton and all that sort of stuff. And you know, it'll be a big enough town to make it easy, you know, to make it easy for everyone.
Well, we're excited.
Yeah.
As soon as I told Don about our conversation, I said, you want to go to England? Yeah! Let's go to Europe.
Yeah. And of course, you know, you could go to Switzerland. You could go, you know, it's not, you know, a European tour. So you never know. Sounds absolutely awesome. And, but I do need help. It won't happen if I don't have any help. So please, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, whoever's interested, please get in touch. So I need people with the organization skills, logistics for organizing conferences. And I'm sure there's many people here who have done that, either in the past with their business, you know, with the business that they may have done, for their own conferences. If you're already doing conferences, connect with me and we can team up and I can find the people and you can hold conferences. However yeah. we can team up, however we can collectively work this to get the truth out to the people. I'm not after a fast buck. It's going to cost me a whole load of pain to get out of my house. So, you know, it's not, I'm not doing it for the money and I'm not doing it for the fame and I'm not doing it for the health either. But it needs to be done. So that's why we're doing it.
Right.
Totally.
I've been blessed. There's a gentleman in Brisbane by the name of Ben who he came forward. He wrote to me. He said, listen, I'm a photographer. I've been a photographer my whole life. You're doing these conferences down in Australia. I live here. Would love to offer my services. So, oh, Ben, great. That's fantastic. Well, I found out just within the past few days, he's from Brisbane. So we started talking and he said, you know, I used to work in the Brisbane Convention Bureau. I went, nah. He said, yeah, I did. So he said, let me help. I went, great. So he's not only going to talk to Convention Bureau, but he's going to approach those mid-level, cost-effective, reasonable hotels that act as convention, you know, convention hotels. So you get the hall, you get the room, you got the rooms for the people to stay. It's cost effective. So I got what you just asked for in one place. He's going to help me with Brisbane, and he's also going to help me with Newcastle, because where there are facilities in Brisbane, there'll likely be similar sister facilities in Newcastle as well. So.
Oh yeah. There's networks of these places. I mean, they've been going for years. These old, you know, businesses have been running team building exercises and all that crap, for years. And it's a really established thing. It's just knowing, to get an in on it, you know.
And knowing that we have, you know, as I'm learning in my own learning curve, we have the right to ask for help.
Yes.
And to get to help.
That's
because the universe is out here full of goodies and help in various forms. And it's like, all I gotta do is ask.
That's right.
All I gotta do is ask.
Yeah, we sometimes forget to ask. We humans seem to get so wrapped up in what we're doing, and they're standing there waiting, you know, tapping their feet, and you forgot to ask us. So when we ask, I mean, they go right into action pretty fast. In this time period, manifestation comes in hours and days, not months and years. It's pretty quick, that fast.
Yeah. JP, I don't know if people have said that to you, but I know categorically for me, it used to be that I would have, as you and I call them, confirmations of, you know, you hear some information or you learn something and somebody says it. It used to be 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, a month, you know, back 10, 12 years ago. These days, I'm getting confirmation like hours, sometimes minutes, from when I had thought about something that was important and relevant. It's like Adana just said, it's almost instantaneous. It's happening so fast these days.
This is the thing that I've been talking about as well, is synchronicities. Connected with that same thing. Synchronicities have now started happening so fast that if you try to explain to somebody why that synchronicity was a synchronicity and B, hilariously funny to you and only you, that's when things get weird. And it's getting to the point when you can't explain a synchronicity before the next synchronicity comes up and you go, oh, that was, you know, and it's like, how about deja vus? Have you guys had deja vus recently?
I've always had them. Adana?
Yeah.
JP is asking about deja vus. Do you
more intensely?
Do you get them in your life?
Oh yes, I've had people that cross my path, whom I've never met in this lifetime, and I would say, I know you from somewhere. I know we've never met, but we met. You know, spiritually speaking is what I was thinking of, that we have some connection, spiritually speaking, and, you know, it manifested in my life. There had been, for example, like I was down in Belize. Belize is in, Central America area, you know, in that South American region. I went able to join a group as a teenager, went into the middle of a jungle and got to come out into the clearing where you could see the Mayan pyramids still standing, four Mayan pyramids. And I climbed on one of those Mayan pyramids in its flat top, which you see over the jungle, and you can see the Caribbean Sea 30 miles away. And I get this deja vu of, I've been here before. Of course, as a 14-year-old teenager, you know, how can you explain to a 14-year-old teenager that you've been here before? And so I've had lifetimes of flashback to, I've been here, in other lifetimes. And I've had deja vus of, I've been on that ship at this location. So, yes, I do have had a shovel of deja vus throughout my lifetime.
All right. Because the thing is, for me, what's been going on is that I've been having like, well, you know, you have a deja vu. And you used to say, oh, yeah. I had a deja vu a couple of months ago. Yeah, yes, I had a couple, 6 months ago. And, you know, it's now getting to the point, again, where you can't really talk about it because it's happening so often that it's, you know, it's not an unusual thing anymore. It's like, oh, there's another one. Oh, there's another one. Oh, there's another one. Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Oh, yeah. And it's like you're talking about this information coming into you. It feels like that. Go ahead, O'Donnell.
Right. JP, what I'm getting for you is what is coming from Asia, who has to hold Soul Essence records. What I'm getting is that you're getting more and more fine-tuned to your Soul Essence of all of the, how should I put it, lifetimes of experiences in the now moment. In other words, you have your past, your present, and your future. And all of these soul essence of your multidimensional self is because of the higher energy that's coming into the earth right now, is bringing all of that together at one moment. Just a moment. I have to step out for a moment. My apologies.
No problem. Totally.
Sure, yes.
Well,
I hear what she's saying. You know, because you keep having experiences that keep bumping up your vibrational rate, if you will, your frequency, you're opening yourself up to more and more of these different lifetimes, these different experiences that you've had, these different multidimensional experiences that you are having. And so it's your vibratory rate, your frequency, the higher you, and the faster you vibrate, the more this information is downloading to you. That's, I guess, about the best way that I can say it. Does that kind of feel right?
Yeah, the clearer things get, the easier things are to organize.
Yeah.
And this is why I think I like to do shows like this. We get a lot of information. And there's no context to a lot of it. And shows like this give context to the information that we're downloading. I would guarantee that everybody who's listening to this has clarified, has tidied up their organization system, has tidied up their Star Nation file system. So we have a lot clearer idea who it is out there, who's in here, who's inside me, you know? Oh, I got Pleiadians, I got Lyrans, there's all that stuff. There's some reptilian in there, it's gotta be, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, and people have been asking, back in the early to mid-90s, we were all asking about, all right, who are they? Where are they coming from? Why are they coming here? Now we're asking questions that are more relevant to the who are we is predictable, but it's, oh, so we're them. Well, someday when the people from Ventra, Teleka, Retol, and the other council member races start visiting this planet, and there are all these little conversations that start happening in villages and towns and small cities, we're going to find out. It's like, oh yeah, your Uncle Frank is my great, great. Those conversations will be happening because we are in fact them. This planet has been colonized from people from the Sirius star system, from people from the different Pleiadian planets. We're, you know, as you've said, we're Lyran. Some people come from the Dog star system. We're going to start learning about our true cosmic heritage in terms of who we all are on this planet. We may be on Earth, but we're not from here. We're from a lot of different star systems. And now we have, as Don and I were talking, I'm like, oh, now I get it. So the Germans look like they do because their founding race was originally from Aldebaran, combined with people from the planet Era. That's why they're tall and they're blonde and they're blue-eyed and green-eyed, because the people from those two planetary systems, star systems, from those two planets, look that way. And that's why Maria Orsic looks like Sannyasi. Oh, okay, now this makes sense. Because we've been asking that question for how long?
Exactly. who is this chick, you know?
Right, right. And apparently, and we didn't get into the details of this, but apparently, the Germans went to the Aldebaran people. Adana told me about this. They have some bases, Arctic, Antarctic, up in the Andes. And the Germans, in their curious engineering selves, went out and they were exploring, and they found these people. It's not like they were out in space and they discovered the Aldebarans, or there was, it's like, oh, Herr Frankel met, you know, Phil from Aldebaran. They were proactively out there looking for these people who they were hearing about with higher technology. So they found their bases. They introduced themselves. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, we can, you know, we can do some business. And apparently, based on the way that Donna told me the story, they said, all right, we want this and this and this. And the Aldebarans went, we're not giving you that technology, because if we do, you'll basically blow up the world. And the Germans And the Germans went, fine, we'll go ask the reptilians. That's why you had reptilians and Aldebaran people helping the Germans as quiet powers in the background, because the Aldebarans wouldn't give them the big killing machine, but the reptilians did. That's that whole convoluted mess that we've been asking about.
How that happened. Right. Well, now, how about the drill drive? Who gave the Germans the drill drive? We call it Red Mercury, or the Aldebarans called it the Vril. It's the star drive, magnetic ferrofluid that is rotated at high speed in counterclockwise fashion that creates the gravity wave.
Okay. Adana, since I asked you all these questions about Aldebaran, go ahead and give this a whirl. Did you hear his question?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't get all of his question. Can you repeat his question?
Yeah, she's tuned to your voice, so you ask it for me if you can.
Okay, sure. The question that JP is asking is, the Germans acquired technology called Vril Drive. It's a starship drive system. And I believe JP is asking, how did they acquire this mercury-based, basically anti-gravity drive system called the Vril drive system? And second question, did it come from the people from Aldebaran?
I heard my Star Commander brother said yes and yes. They gave them only what they asked for. They did not give them more than that. They gave them what is appropriate for them to have, and it would be the type that it would not would be any detrimental to the Earth itself. So it's more of a safety factor in terms of what my Stark Commander brother is telling me, that they will let them have it and only use it for the purpose of improving this drive, improving this antimatter equipment. But there is a what he calls a safety net. I guess it's the better word for it. It has a code that if any time anybody gets a hold of it, that are not going to be utilized for the good of all, then they have a code system in it where it will stop working. And I don't understand all of how it does it, but that's what's given to me.
Donna, I'll ask a follow-up question. Is this, do you believe, or maybe our commander brother can give you the answer to this, is this possibly the reason why we did not see any star drive, if you will, UFO saucer shaped ships with Aldebaran technology engaged in war during World War II?
Correct.
People heard about, JP, correct me if I'm wrong, was it these were called Foo Fighters, F-O-O?
Yeah, but apparently they couldn't put weapons on them.
And there you go. That's what Adana.
Yeah, I think they did have some kind of laser though. I think eventually they figured out they could squeeze a laser through the field. But these things create a field. This is going to distort any electromagnetic beam like light or microwave or anything like that. You know, so you never know what happens. But I'm sure, they probably figured out how to weaponize it by now. You know what they're like.
Well, yeah. But what she was saying is the Aldebarans said, we'll give this technology, but if you try to weaponize it, it's going to have a fail-safe trigger and it's going to shut down. I'm using different words, but that's what she said.
It was shut down because that's what he said the code was for. If they manipulate it anyway, or if they do something that is not right, it will shut it down.
Yeah.
It will automatically shut it down.
Like JP said, maybe over the course of time, years, whatever, they've kind of engineered technology and figured things out.
Right.
I'm going to ask a different question. Is there any collaboration between people from planet Zula in the Aldebaran star system and the people of Germany today? Is that happening? Whether they live in Germany or they live in Argentina or Buenos Aires, down in, and where else?
According to what, my stock manager saying is that there's a small group of people that the people of Zula in connection with the people here that are of the our group, our age group of people, our generation of people, are basically want to bring about a better change for the planet to, after what they have seen happen to the older generation of people that have, went the opposite direction, if you will. The people of today that they're connecting to are very much in harmony with the idea of bringing peaceful solutions to what's going on in the world today. So it's a major change. It's not the same as it was back, you know, previous, when I say previous to World War II, previous at that time period when this whole thing came about. So yes, there is a connection.
All right. So
ongoing connection between these two.
So I was going to say, is it there is a kind of analog between the Aldebaran regime and, say, well, the United States regime for the last, when was it, 50 years, that has just kind of come back into what it feels like right order. And we haven't spoken about that, and you're going to talk about that. So, you know, to bring that all together, is there an analog to that? Is that, you know, they were, they had a rogue regime, running their, system for a while, and now, things have sorted out back to a decent regime. Is that right?
If I'm understanding you right, what they have today is, more of, I need to make this right. I need to make this better. I need to improve people's lives. And therefore the connection, is much more, flowing in terms of communications, in terms of, okay, we will go with this, and this is the way it's going to be today. And it seems that they are very highly sensitive to what has occurred in the past and what is happening today, that they want to reach out to the people of this planet to make a difference. To make life better, you know, for the people of Earth.
So is there a sense that they want to make amends?
Yeah. Yes, sir. They want to make amends. They want to bridge that healing. You know, the healer, there's a lot of them in the groups that focusing on, healing, the planet, healing the people. And that's what I got from them.
Good, good. Thank you. So we're now completely out of time. I've just realized it's whack. I've got missing time. I'm sure we've all been abducted. Thank you so much, Donna, for appearing on Ever Beyond. Thank you so much for appearing once again, Tolek. So, we haven't got much time.
Very well.
But, quickly.
You know what happens? We get rolling like at the hour 20 minute mark.
Yeah.
Something takes life and like, oh damn.
Okay. In 20 seconds, website, please, Adonna, if you can.
She didn't hear you. Oh. Star ancestry.com.
Fantastic. Maybe we come on and do readings? Do you do live readings?
Donna?
I all I got is the readings.
Question? JP, go ahead.
Do you do live readings, Adonna?
Well, I do, majority of my work right now is to do, as for the star ancestry.com, is to help people reconnect with the star regions. So if you consider that a reading, yes, it's a reading. It's basically giving the people information, whether they want to go with the basic information just to find out where they're from, or whether they want to end up in details as far as the premium that goes to overall charge for them. That's basically what I do at this point in time.
Awesome. StarAncestry.com and TolekAndromedaCouncil.com, correct?
Right. And TransformationalShiftEvents.com for all of the places where we're going to be speaking this in 2017.
The Andromeda Council Roadshow. Indeed.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Good night, yes, everybody. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
It's been brilliant. Excellent. Lovely show. Thank you.
Beyond.